Hi, welcome to our podcast, Where Next? Travel with Kristen and Carol. I am Kristen.
And I am Carol.
And we're two long-term friends with a passion for travel and adventure.
Each episode, we interview people around the globe to help us decide where to go next.
In today's episode, we are visiting with James, the host of Winging It Travel Podcast, who is a global citizen originally from the UK, and share some of his favorite sites and things to do in Norwich, Brighton, Cambridge, and other great destinations in the UK. We really appreciate you joining us today, and we would love if you could support us by simply following, rating, or reviewing our podcast in your favorite podcast app. Enjoy.
Hey, it's James.
How you doing?
Hi, good. Okay, so what we want to do today is talk about your experience in the UK and where you were exactly. I think you said it wasn't London proper, but maybe some of your time was in London. Tons of curious questions. So the reason we're doing our podcast is as we approach our empty nester years, I want to start traveling again. Our kids kind of held us back a little bit from that. And I know some people do that, and that's awesome. We just didn't do it so much. So I want to be a slow traveler personally. I want to go like spend a month in Portugal, you know, 2 months in Costa Rica and just hop around the world at the different times of year that's best. Yeah. You know, like Guatemala, we visited a person there and it's like always spring. It's like California. Oh, it sounds like perfect weather. Right. And the Madeira, Portugal, I really want to learn about. And, you know, I want to go to, like maybe check out South Korea, but don't want to do that in the winter, right? So there's, you know, we just want to like learn about all this. And do I really want to go there?
Oh, wow. Next month. That's awesome.
Yeah. In the summer. Okay.
Where are you based?
California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Near San Francisco.
Right. Got it. Yep.
And I'm in Colorado.
I've had a few people from Colorado on my podcast. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yes. Not too far from Denver, like 30 minutes from Denver.
And nice.
In a college town called Boulder, right next to the mountain.
Boulder? Yeah. I think that's a few people. Oh, someone from Colorado. I'm going to get this wrong. Is it Fort? Is there a town called Fort something?
Fort Collins.
Yeah. Yep. Someone from there. Yeah.
It's all just amazing.
Another guy lives in the Rockies, I think middle of nowhere. Yeah, he's interesting. Yeah. So I had a few people from Colorado. That's a cool place.
Right. Yeah. So you can have us on your podcast to talk about these places.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I went to California this year. So.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Where in California?
I've done the classic LA.
Okay. I'm from there. So I grew up in Redondo Beach, Palos Verdes area.
Oh, yeah.
And then I moved up to Northern California in 95. And that's where Carol and I met. So we had lived in the same apartment complex. It was very like Melrose Place. There was a whole bunch of us. There was five of us. And we used to rotate dinners every Wednesday.
Nice.
And so we only had to cook once every 5 weeks. We got to hang out and we all got along really well. It was super fun. And then Carol and I also unbeknownst worked. I'm trying to remember. I don't think we knew we worked at Robert Half and Account Chumps at the time or whatever.
No.
At the same company. And then we ended up, she's in Walnut Creek office. I'm in the Oakland office. And it was kind of fun. But how this whole started, we moved on, had kids in our lives. I sent her a Christmas card about a year and a half ago. And so we started talking. I do another podcast called The Future of Women at Work. And she was like, I want to do a travel podcast. I was like, yes, I want to travel. And so that was quite the easy yes for me. And so we launched this and it's been super fun. And I have a ton of questions. I'm so curious how you started. I did not do my research. And so I'm coming at fresh eyes, probably. Like
that's not a bad thing sometimes, you know?
Yeah. But what prompted you? So I definitely hear the accent. So the UK, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then when did you move to, did you move from there to Vancouver?
No, we lived in New Zealand at that point.
That's where I want to go.
Yeah, we didn't really want to leave, but we had to because the visa was up. So
How long did you stay for?
A year. Lived there for a year.
Okay, awesome. And then after New Zealand, where'd you go?
Well, because of our age, I don't know for Americans if it's different, but for UK, you get quite a lot of working visas. So you can get working visas in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Japan, Korea, and I think even Singapore. Anyway, because of our age, we had to go to Canada. That's the only one left.
Ah.
And so we applied in New Zealand, got it, and it's 2 years here. So we've been here 2 years from when we arrived in 2019, January. Here about a year, then COVID happened, right? So we applied for PR during COVID, got it.
Fantastic.
When I went to, so I went to Costa Rica for a month, and when I was doing research and talking to folks, there was this gal I met in Berkeley. She was working at the North Face outlet. She was working there part-time and then also flying to New York as a hairdresser, but she was doing that to make money for, I think, at least a year. And she had an airline ticket that you could go around the world one way. And then you just go, that sounds awesome.
done that back in the day, long time, but 8 years ago now, whether it was the Run World ticket. Yeah. I've done that before.
You can only like go one way, right? It's something like you can't go backwards or I don't know. She was telling me.
There's like three or four major flights booked in. You can make them flexible if you want to change your plans. But yeah, it's kind of set in stone for like people do it for a year.
Yeah.
Just have something booked in. Yeah, it's quite cool. Since the pandemic, I'm not even sure if it's possible anymore, like if you can do that easily.
So when did Winging It Travel Podcast start?
During lockdown, when I was a bit depressed about not traveling.
Just like us.
Yeah, was it February 2020? Yeah. No, 21 last year.
Okay.
I can't remember what year we're in. Yeah,
pretty much exactly like us. So we are all celebrating. Exactly. What's Winging It mean? How'd you come up with the name?
My mum came up with my name.
Yeah?
Because she is obviously used to me just not being home now and just kind of going around different places, right? So she's like, yeah, you're just kind of winging it, really. Whereas my sister is like is a doctor, basically. So very structured, like almost 10 years of like study for her, right? Until she becomes a doctor. Whereas in that sort of same period, I was just like going around to Australia, living there, then living in New Zealand, and then living in Canada and traveling like some of the world. So yeah, she's like, oh, you're just kind of winging it. I was like, yeah, I think I am.
Well, you actually do have focus, just as intense as maybe your sister's doing her doctor. You're intensely traveling, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, very different, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's the same sort of thing
exactly.
In terms of like a focus, if you like. Yeah, you're right. We can't travel, so let's talk about it. And I met so many people when my travel was like throughout the years that I thought, oh, let's get them on. And yeah, I had some people that I've met in different countries just come on and talk about their journey and how we met and what I've been doing since.
That's great. It sounds very similar to what we did. So do you interview the people of where you go or?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's changed. So early days, a lot of people that I knew because like I said, like around the world. So I've got some people on that I met in different countries that they came on. And then especially this year from December, people started reaching out to me. So I've interviewed much more diverse sort of people where I don't know them, right? So I've just maybe reached out to them or they've reached out to me, some travel journalists, some travel authors, some people on these crazy trips.
That's awesome. I love it. I think the exact same way as you. It's so interesting to just talk to just the people, you know, that you meet that have gone places, done things, and then they're through their eyes and their experiences, and you get to, it's so much more rich with, you know, you get the standard of like, you know, going to certain places, you know, iconic places, but the underground and other things and really getting to know the people and what their days are like, what they like to do, what their culture's like. I really Carol and I both really enjoy that aspect.
Yeah, it's the best thing, right? Because people ask me like, oh, why didn't you get like someone semi-famous on who's traveled? I'm like, well, I can try.
Yeah.
But I don't actually think it really changes the dynamic of who listens. I don't think they care who it is.
Yeah, they can take up People magazine and read about them or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no real rules of mine. Like, as long as you've got a story to tell, you're kind of basically on. I've never rejected anyone, never like said no. The only problem with that is, though, if you're not as strict with that, I don't know if you guys find this, that right now I've just got a heap just like recorded and ready to go. But because I'm only one a week, I mean, you can only get so much, right, before you're getting out of date because it's like 2 months ago I recorded. So if you're more strict with maybe your criteria, it's probably a bit easier. But because I'm so broad with it, I need to be a bit more strict and maybe even say no nowadays because I do get reached out to quite a bit. So,
thank you. Now? We're honored. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for the time, for sure.
yeah, no worries. And I'm very reciprocal. So you guys obviously come to my podcast. So that's obviously a thing I do hold to like high esteem. I don't like just go on and then not offer the same thing back, right? So the fact that you travel podcasters makes it interesting because we can talk about the same stuff, like maybe some of the struggles, some of the, I don't know, some of the things you've learned or what you do better or what's different or whatever.
Yeah. One struggle right there is my dog barking. He's got some chihuahua in him. So I'm like, oh shoot, I got to shut the door. So I made mute, but he's too right now. But yeah, well, it's definitely a pleasure to have you. I feel like what you're talking about, what you do is exactly like what we do. It's just it's an outlet for us to travel when we can't travel. Our kids. Yeah. I've got a freshman and a senior in high school right now. So she's only in school almost 3 more weeks. And then off to, well, she's going to do junior college for the 2 years. So she's going to still be home for a couple of years, but it's just a great time to be able to travel. Actually, for her senior trip, I'm taking her to South Korea. She wanted to go to Korea.
Oh, wow.
She loves BTS. And I told her a couple of years ago, for your senior trip, I'll take you. And she's so excited. So putting that together. Yeah. I'm curious also what you've done in growing your podcast. I know we do them twice a month. So it's not every week. And then just between the two of us, we find folks, you know, between the two. And it's funny because I had a pretty busy, stressful time. And so Carol booked them all for me. And then I've kind of taken over and booked some, you know, we kind of tag team as well.
Yeah, that helps. Nice.
Absolutely. And then Carol's kind of the technical person. I am not. I can find people and schedule things, but the IT and the whole the design, everything's Carol, which is, I love it. I'm so grateful for that. So I know it's a lot if you're doing it by yourself, just you.
So let's talk about the UK. Mm. I've been to London a couple times.
Yeah.
Never really outside of London. And I definitely recommend like the bus trip to get yourself acclimated because you're always underground in the tube. So it's called the tube. But you're not from London originally, right? Is there, whereabouts were you?
I'm from Norwich.
Born and raised? Norwich. Oh, way up there. Okay. So that's
east.
East. Okay. I'm looking at a map there. So near the, not too far from the ocean.
Yeah. About 20 minutes drive.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Maybe 25. Yeah.
And was that a awesome place to grow up, an awesome place to visit? You know, what do you like about Norwich?
It's got a small town feel. So that's to say not many people leave. So that's good and bad. So the good thing is the community spirit, I guess. And I guess you know quite a lot of people in one place. The bad side to that is it's not very diverse. It's not very what I would call progressive. I probably wouldn't live there out of choice. But I think you would want to probably bring kids up there, for example, it'd be a nice place to start because it's quite safe. It's the crime rate is really low. The coast is down the road and you're not too far from London. It's about an hour and 45 minutes on the train and maybe like an hour from Cambridge, which is like Norwich, but it's a bit smaller. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's just a bit out of the way as well. Like it's not compared to Americans because you live in a huge country, but back home it would be perceived as like in the middle of the sticks, like nowhere. But actually in reality it's only like an hour from Cambridge and then it's another 40 minutes to London, right? It's not that far. But for UK standards it is. So there's not many like big cities around it, it's like little towns. And Norwich is like the main hub.
Okay. What's the highlights in Cambridge? I've heard of it. Is that where Oxford University is or what's
so Cambridge University in Cambridge. Okay. They're linked to Oxford University. This is called Oxbridge. That's the big university everyone knows. It's quite a famous and historic town. It's got like little like canals through it and you can do punting and stuff like that.
Punting. What's punting?
You know, in Venice, when you go on these gondolas.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
They row.
Yeah. You do it yourself. Yeah, you can row. Yeah.
Interesting. I had no idea. And then Birmingham looks pretty big too. What's important about Birmingham? What's the draw?
Second city in UK.
Okay.
Is this anything? I wouldn't say it's a place you should go and visit that much.
Okay.
I really wouldn't recommend it in terms of like, yeah, it's a big city, but I couldn't tell you anything that's... sorry, people from Birmingham, but
Yeah, and then Brighton, I hear about Brighton all the time.
Brighton's brilliant. It's worth a visit. Yeah, so very diverse, very... It's got its own like little unique culture down there and it's by the beach. So it's got that sort of like beach lifestyle, if you like. And it's very popular with everyone. It's not like you'll just find an eclectic mix there in Brighton.
Okay.
There's a huge sort of like party scene there as well, and there's also good sport and good music. That is everything there. It's pretty good.
Okay, gotcha. And then I feel like The Who or something, I don't know, one of their big albums was not The Pinball Wizard, but the other one, they did something, we're right by the ocean. I don't know if that was Brighton or not. It was a huge video. It was like a movie. I don't know. Are you a big Who fan?
Not huge. No, more Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, if I'm honest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Is he from the UK?
Jimi Hendrix now, Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But he lived in London, though. That's, I think he called London his home, actually. But yeah, he's from the US and in Seattle.
All right.
But yeah, if you want, like, for UK, a few things maybe that's worth visiting that's quite unique and it's not London, I would go to the Cotswolds. That's near Oxford. And
I heard about that. Was one of your podcasts about, or somebody's podcast, that is a big hike where you can hike different amounts each day or something?
Yeah, it's like, it's a real, like, small area of small towns, no big cities. And it's like got like rolling hills and it's like the old English cottages. And it's a pretty idyllic area to live, quite expensive. I guess a lot of people who have a lot of money live there. But yeah, the Cotswolds, which is near Oxford.
Near Oxford. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see it. So that not too far from London.
Yeah. Probably like about hour and a half, maybe on a train from Paddington.
I see Oxford, but I don't see Cotswold.
Cotswold. So Cotswolds.
Yeah. Okay. What about, like, what do you typically like to do? Is there like nature and outdoors, or is like, what do people typically do in sports and things? Like,
yeah, I think if you're in UK, I would imagine a lot of people head to the southwest, to Cornwall, right at the bottom southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like known for its nature, and there's a bit of a surfing community down there as well. And it's just that classic family holiday, or even just, you know, professional couples go down there. And yeah, that's, if I was to go back and have like a week, it'd be down there somewhere.
And where was that again?
Cornwall.
Cornwall. Okay.
Yeah. Southwest. That's the very tip at the bottom southwest.
Okay. Like by Plymouth, I've seen Plymouth. And
yeah, keep going. Yeah. That's in Devon. If you keep going further south, like west, sort of like Truro, T-R-U-R-O. Yes. Yeah, that's that county there.
Okay. Yeah, it's like a whole peninsula. Plymouth and then...
Oh, okay. Very nice.
St. Ives, Falmouth.
Yeah, Dream. Very, very nice area.
Torquay?
Like Torquay. Yeah.
That sounds familiar. Like I've seen
Have you
that
seen somewhere. Fawlty Towers, the comedy?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Based there. Yeah, Torquay.
Okay, got it. And do trains go all the way down there, or do you need to take a car? Okay.
No, trains, yeah.
Trains are really awesome.
Is that what the... I'm looking at a map, and there's just yellow lines throughout. It looks like veins throughout all of the UK.
Yeah.
The train lines and things like that.
Yeah, I must admit, so if you're in the UK, right, you're probably moaning about the trains, right? But actually, when you go to other countries like Canada and especially US, you kind of realize, wow, they're actually amazing, like different places they go to. And yeah, you have no problems getting the train down there. And you got your main hubs. So from London, you probably want to get to probably Paddington, I'd imagine, is your main station. That'll go west and southwest. And then it probably goes to Bristol, and you probably have to change in Bristol and go down again. But yeah, you can get trains to anywhere, these like little towns down here. Absolutely.
Are they pretty inexpensive?
No, they're one of the most expensive in Europe. So you get to pay a bit of money for it, unfortunately.
Europass, does that include all the trains, or it's totally, I'm sure it's separate.
Is that the interrailing pass?
Probably.
That's Europe only. It's not UK, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah.
You could probably get to London from Paris.
Yeah.
Well, I remember, so when I was in London, we booked a fast train under the water to Paris, and we booked it way ahead of time. So it was only like $40 each way or something. And they said it's like an airline. So if you wait and want to buy it the same day, it could be as much as $200 each way. Is that most of the trains work like that?
Yeah, I'd say getting early. Yeah. If you know you're going to UK early, plan. Yeah.
Okay.
I kind of accept that they probably will be late and maybe sometimes cancelled. I think the Southwest, where we're talking now, is probably one of the worst areas in the country for trains in terms of being late, cancelled, or busy. Yeah, it's a problem.
So it's not Switzerland, right?
No, it's not Switzerland. No
way. We interviewed Switzerland. She said, you can tell. She lived in a town right near the border of Switzerland and France. She's like, you know, when you're in France in the trains, because sometimes they'd be a minute late, not bad. But when you're in Switzerland, always, always exactly on time. She said it was so amazing.
Not like Switzerland or Japan. Don't accept that.
Funny. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So I always just, countryside. I have that here in the U.S. I don't need, but I don't know. Now I'm kind of curious about going to all these places. But what is the weather like? Because I always think of, it's going to be cold and dreary and super windy. Are some of these places in the Southwest like pretty pleasant a certain times
of
the year?
Yes. Yeah. And I just forgot. Let me tell you one good tip I would recommend. And that is, bear with me a second. There's a group of islands. There's a little group of islands.
What?
Just off Cornwall. They're called the Isles of Scilly. I'll put it in the chat for you so you can actually... So these are the warmest places in the UK. And you can get a ferry from Penzance, I think, or you get a flight, which is like a 40-minute flight. And these places are just like a hidden gem, almost like the Caribbean in terms of like beaches and island life. So Isles of Scilly is brilliant if you want to go for that like... country village style English countryside, but also on an island with a great beach and not too busy. That's a place to go.
I'm just, it's so funny. So I have a big map of the UK. I did not see any of these islands. And then I just typed it in and on my map, it just zipped down and it expanded. And it literally looks like the Caribbean. There's all these, there's all these islands. That's
I know.
So
I've not been. Crazy. It's on my top place to go in UK.
Well, that is the place to go.
Yeah.
Like, wow, what a trip. These little, and there's a lot there. There's like.
Yeah, you're going to have like afternoon tea and probably go to the beach and have a nice beer by the beach. There's like country cottages. There's probably, I wouldn't say it's like a backpacking place. It's more like probably hotels and families and stuff. So.
Oh, there's a lot there because I'm, there's
a lot of outdoor stuff.
So there's like Ryher, St. Helens, St. Martin's. St. Agnes, Western Rocks, Bishop Rocks are like really low. And it looks like maybe, there's a historic lighthouse. I don't know if there's a place to stay there, but there's definitely 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7 plus little islands. And then there's a ton. It looks like Sweden with archipelago. There's like all these little spots. I know I'm Swedish. So,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Family. And we were literally going through all these little islands and there was like a little, I don't know, like a 20-foot island or, you know, something like that, or 10-foot island. And we just went and stood on it. Awesome.
So Kristen, I'm having a hard time finding it. Is it in that cove on the bottom southwest corner?
Yeah, it's right where he was saying, what is it? Penzance?
If you go to Penzance and just go out to sea a little bit, you'll see like a little group of islands.
Isle of Scilly.
Scilly,
S-C-I-L-L-Y. Oh, it looks like the Caribbean. Oh yeah. That's awesome. Sorry. I'm like, that's going on my list. Is it warm? Do you know?
It's the warmest place in the UK. Yeah.
It looks like it.
You need to get there. Yeah.
That would be
I would probably advise booking in advance because I think it gets because it's quite small. There's not like loads of options. So you can definitely camp there actually. I know you can camp, so that's an option as well if you want to go a bit cheaper, but yeah,
I think I get that the UK, because it's all drizzly and gray and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
We are not letting anyone know about this. And it's not on the maps. Yeah. Only need to know basis and you don't need to know kind of thing.
Oh, okay, I found it now where it says Maypole, St. Agnes, St. Martin's.
Yeah. Is there surfing down there?
I don't know actually if there will be. There might be. Because it's an archipelago, there might be just a bit calm, the waters down there. But
yeah,
not sure. Possibly.
I'll look it up. Let's see. There are no reliable surf breaks on any of the islands. Must be due to a misfortune of the geomorphology of the seabed around the islands. Whatever the swell conditions, no rideable waves are reported to occur on the islands.
Okay.
Okay. Very Caribbean-like then. Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to Cornwall, do your surf in there in Newquay, and then you can hop to Penzance, get a flight over to the Scilly Islands and then chill out. So that's a dream scenario, really.
Totally. Wait, what were the surf islands? What did you call them?
the surfing place and it's kind of generic. There's probably better places, but I don't know. I'm not from there, but Newquay is the place to go for surfing.
N-E-W-K-E-Y?
N-E-W-Q-U-A-Y.
Oh, okay. I saw that down there. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for those, because I know Carol, that's one of Carol's questions.
But I reckon my top tip would be, if you do go to Cornwall, Newquay would probably be the first place you might go for surf, but I reckon there's probably better places in around the coast.
No, thanks for sharing. That is what we like to hear. Little gems like that. And also curious, hate to leave this place. I don't want to actually, but in looking at the UK, also some of the, Liverpool, Manchester, Sheffield, I'm definitely familiar with that. There's this Isle of Man. Is that in the UK?
Technically, no, but it is. It's actually its own island, country. Own country. Yeah, but it kind of, it's a crown dependency, so they do rely on us. But it's got its own language called Manx, M-A-N-X. And it's a very small island, but it's got its own little culture. It's like a mix between Ireland and UK.
And what's that called, Kristen?
It's Isle of Man.
Isle of Man, yeah.
And it's still north of Liverpool, Manchester, kind of off. It's in between Ireland and the UK. It's almost right in the middle of it, of Northern Ireland and kind of the top part of the UK. But it just seemed, and it's pretty big. I mean, it was showing on the map way more than Isle of Scilly.
It's known for its race. It's called TT, double T. And it's a big kind of like car race, but like, not off-road, but they go around the little country roads in Isle of Man. It's like a big thing that happens every year. That's what they're known for, I think.
What are the cars? What kind of cars do they race?
Yeah, like Colin McRae. I don't know if you know that guy. I think he's dead now. But
that's not good.
No. He died in a helicopter crash, don't worry. The cars where you have only two people in the front, one's like got a map, that sort of car. But not like Formula One or not like a NASCAR, nothing like that. It's more kind of old school. Okay. But it's still fast, but they have to go
James
around these
Bond.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool. I have to look that up. That sounds pretty fun.
And so is Wales just on the same island as England? And then, or is it also hop over to part of Ireland? But
No. Wales on the same mainland. Yep. So no border. You just drive into Wales. It's part of the mainland, bordering England. Yeah, go back and forth. Yeah, there's no border.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's just more like an area. It's like a state almost probably in the US here, like crossover.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that to the Welsh people, but yeah, kind of.
Just have a little different accent, right?
That's very different accent, yeah. My girlfriend's Welsh, so her dad is 100% Welsh, which is quite rare. So they speak Welsh, which is a different language, but... If you want a bit of history of Wales, back in the day when the Romans came over, they were the original English people, if you like. But because they didn't want to get, beaten up by the Romans, they all fled west and went to Wales. That's what modern day Wales is. So they're the traditional people of the UK, if you like. Well, England. Yeah.
No, that's good to know. No, that's interesting history. So I'll just ask the obvious question, which I don't know why it didn't pop to my head. It's funny. So the whole royal families and all of that, it seems like it is like so important to the country. Is that true?
That depends.
Did you not say that out loud?
No. It is split. There's going to be royalists and there's going to be people who don't care.
I'm noticing a lot on People magazine of like here in the States lately, for some reason at the grocery store, that they're all talking about them all the time. And it's kind of funny because it doesn't matter to me, but I it's almost like movie stars or something.
Yeah. They're like a modern day. Yeah. I guess like even more than a movie star, like, it's royalty. Like they are obsessed with like people follow them around, but like the Meghan and Prince Harry thing. Yeah. Would definitely split opinion, but I'm like, for him, I'm like, yeah, fair play if you want to escape that family, because it's not a great lifestyle. They got to go do all these events and you're never really free. Yeah, he's escaped to US, which I don't blame him for. But some people are like, no, he's part of the family. Like, he should keep the tradition going. So I'm not like a royalist, but I'm not like anti them either. I'm really in the middle, but you'll find people both ends. And it's kind of political as well, I'd imagine.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Kind of like, just let them live their life. Hey, good job. Whatever you want to do.
Where I'm from in Norwich, so the Queen stays in Norfolk, the county of Norfolk, which Norwich is in. Queen stays there all the time. So you can go and kind of go and see her at Sandringham, which is like a maybe 45-minute drive from Norwich going west. Mm-hmm. And she's there most of the year. If she's not in Buckingham Palace, she'll be there. Norfolk's one of her favourite counties. So, yeah, she's almost like a local, almost the Queen. But
does she have, like, if you would see her, like, at an event? Or does she go out and about with just a couple of security guards? Or
yeah, she pops, like, to the church on a Sunday. You can go and just watch her, like, with her, whoever's there. Could be her dogs, could be some of her family. And I don't know if you can join her in the church. I'm not sure if that's possible. But, yeah, you can definitely just go and, like, watch her go to, yeah, church or whatever, or wherever she goes in the week. But yeah, it's a popular thing, especially around Christmas, because they get together in Norfolk at Christmas and spend their time there.
Yeah.
And did she pass the royalty down? Is it to Kate and, I don't know.
William. No, not yet. William. No, she's still going. So
yeah, she's amazing.
Next will be Charles. Charles will be next.
Okay.
But he's too old.
Okay. Yeah, there was a Netflix show, I think, called The Queen. I started watching it. We didn't get too far. But
that was,
I don't know if that's realistic or not. It looks very awesome.
Maybe watch The Crown on Netflix?
Oh, The Crown. That was it, yeah.
That, I don't know how true it is, but the events are true. So they talk about events from the 40s and 50s up to modern day. You know, some dramatization, yeah, we get it. But the events that they mention are true, and how she reacted and what she said and what she did. So it is worth a watch if you want like a basic overview of the royal family. But I guess they are important because they're kind of bringing a lot of money from tourism, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I remember when the Olympics were there, they said like she jumped out of an airplane. I think my kids thought that was true, but no. At her age, she'd be jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah. Imagine that.
That would be amazing.
She seems like so amazing. She's just like, I don't care how old I am. I'll do whatever I want. Say whatever I want.
You know? I definitely like that. That's cool.
She has the power.
Exactly. They have touched upon this. What are your favorite things or your recommendations for someone who wants to go to the UK, possibly two ways? One in a kind of a sightseeing tour, travel-y kind of shopping thing. And then another is more the outdoor, out-venture kind of group. And I'm sure you do research, but I definitely like the Isle of Scilly.
Yeah. I think if you're doing sightseeing, a bit of shopping, a bit of sightseeing, maybe a bit some historic buildings, then I would go to somewhere like Liverpool or maybe even somewhere in Yorkshire. So maybe somewhere like Leeds, which is quite a big city.
Oh, okay.
Oh, L-E-E-D-S.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because Liverpool's got the culture, right? Beatles, you can go to the Cavern Club. It's got good shopping there. It's got two huge, huge sports teams there. And also kind of people from Liverpool are quite, yeah, they've got their own sense of humour. They're quite funny. So, yeah, it's worth going to and just kind of speaking to them. And it's got a great nightlife as well if you want to party in Liverpool. I was going to go to university there, but I didn't get in, unfortunately. So that's a great city to go to.
Yeah.
And if you want, like, real historic, like, London's obviously the one, but I don't know, like even Norwich, where I'm from, it's got like a 1,000-year-old cathedral, right? William the Conqueror commissioned it with the castle. Mm-hmm. So it's like 900 to 1,000 years old. I mean, it's still like completely there. And the second tallest in the UK in terms of cathedral. So that's the historic part if you want to go to like Norwich, because it used to be second city back in the day until Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. But then there's so many places I don't even know where to start, but I guess someone like Leeds, like Yorkshire as a county where Leeds is, got their own culture. And it's got that idyllic sort of country village as well, where it's like rolling hills and all made of stone and very small little towns in the middle of like these valleys and stuff. So that's quite a cool place to go and visit.
That's cool. That's Leeds, you said, right?
Yeah, Leeds or Yorkshire. Like Yorkshire is quite a big county. but Leeds is the main hub.
Okay.
But for nature, you can go to Wales and go climb Mount Snowdon. It's like a pretty easy climb. But my biggest recommendation for nature would go to Scotland.
Yeah?
Go and do the 500. Go and do the 500 road, which goes all the way around the top.
500 road?
Yeah, it's like the Route 66 of Scotland. Yeah, it's called the 500 route, or Route 500.
Huh.
And it starts, I think it starts in the east around Inverness, maybe a bit before. Yeah. And it goes all the way around the top, all the way down to like the left-hand side where the Highlands is. And there's so much nature and scenery and walks there. It'd be incredible. And lakes. It'd be insane.
Wow. It's pretty dreary there too, is it?
Yeah, like, yeah, I'll go in the summer to get the best weather because either side of it.
Yeah. What's for sure. What are the time frames of the best weather at the certain times?
I would go to Scotland July, August.
Uh-huh.
June and September, you might get away with it, but you might probably expect a bit of rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So any other time of year, you're risking it.
Yeah. Sounds like Oregon and Washington over here too.
Yeah, a bit like that. I imagine a bit like that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, this is awesome. Thank you. That sounds fantastic.
So are we ready for a rapid fire question?
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay. So my question with the popular religion, I could take a guess, but everything is getting so multicultural these days. Is there still one dominant religion in the UK?
I guess it's Christianity, I suppose.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Got it. And then favorite foods, of course, London and UK are known for bad food, but London has amazing, like so many immigrants coming in that there's a lot of great food I hear, but do you have your favorite foods?
I do. They'd be more traditional though. So they are going to be UK based.
Bangers and mash.
That is up there, but I'm not going to say that because I'm not a huge fan of mash, but I'm going to say the classic roast dinner.
Oh, okay.
A bit like a Thanksgiving dinner, I suppose.
Oh, okay.
But you need to have Yorkshire pudding. It's key. Yorkshire pudding's a key.
What is Yorkshire pudding?
It's the same mix as a pancake.
Okay.
What? Okay, but describe different. It. What
do you say? Like bread pudding?
So you got your pancake mix, right? So there's eggs, flour, milk. That's pretty much
okay.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. But for Yorkshire pudding, you'd get like a baking tin. It's got like a little hole in it, like a cake tin almost. Chuck some oil in there. Put it in the oven for 2 minutes. So it's like piping hot. Pour your mix in. Then it will rise after about 20 minutes. And that's your Yorkshire pudding. And it goes with gravy.
It's like a bread. Or does it, is it fold like a bread or a pudding?
Doesn't fall. It's quite sturdy.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah.
Well, what's it? There's a bread like potatoes?
Pudding. No, it's like it's thick. Like you'll pick up with your hands like that and put it on your plate.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay.
And you use a knife and fork to cut it. It's, you know, it's not like flimsy.
Like pudding, like jello pudding, right? Like
no, it's
like bread pudding's like a cake. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like. Mm-hmm. It's real hard to explain, isn't it?
Do you always put gravy on it or something?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing else.
They look kind of almost like biscuits-ish, kind of.
Yeah, I guess for Americans, yeah, biscuits is probably similar-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the UK, I'm putting it instead of their...
Yorkshire pudding, yeah.
They all have like holes, and that's where you said you put like oil in there?
So you can have like small ones or big ones. Uh-huh. So, okay.
This is so fun.
I'll tell you dinner you can put in Google, toad in the hole, as in toad, as in the frog, toad in the hole. You put that in Google.
And there we go. Oh.
So that's like a big Yorkshire pudding with sausages in it, right? That's a different version of it.
Oh my gosh, I want to make this for dinner. This looks amazing. I love sausage and this looks really fun.
Yeah, get your dish, get your big dish, get your oil in it so it obviously heats up. And then once that's heated up, put your sausages, just lay them in the bottom of the dish, and then pour over all your Yorkshire pudding mix, and then it'll rise and kind of mix in with the sausages. It's quite cool.
And then it says, people also search for bubble and squeak.
Oh, I love bubble and squeak. Yeah, that's going to be, yeah, it's next as well.
What is that? I haven't seen that yet.
it's a mix of, so you have your roast dinner, right? Your toad in the hole. Let's say you got some leftover from Thanksgiving as well. Maybe you got some like cabbage and potato. Carrot, mush it all together.
Yeah.
Mash it all. A bit of egg white would probably help, but it's fine if not. put it in the fridge so it sets, and then you fry it in the frying pan with oil, a bit of salt and pepper, and you normally have it with breakfast. With like,
that's like a quiche. It's a quiche.
Yeah, but there's no egg in it though. There's no egg. It's leftover vegetables only. So it's like potato, cabbage, maybe a broccoli in there, carrot.
Yeah. You see, like, you don't put anything in it. What keeps it together?
Well, that's what I mean. You can either like risk it and just mash it all together and hope it sticks, or maybe add a bit of egg white maybe or something just to stick it together. That's entirely up to you. But I would just do it with no egg white and just mash it together, put in tin foil in the fridge, keep it settled there for a bit, and then fry it in the pan.
That sounds really good.
It's so good.
James?
I do, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And then the shepherd's pie, we make that at my house, actually.
Yeah. Classic.
One of his rotation.
Mushy peas? Yeah, mushy peas before?
No.
Mushy peas? No.
Mushy peas? No. Just peas.
Okay. They're Marifat peas mushed up. They're really good.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You have them with like fish and chips. That's a classic.
Oh, very nice. Okay, this sounds like good hearty food.
Yeah, mushy peas. Yeah, it's a staple.
Oh, it looks like split pea soup.
Oh, yeah, it's getting towards a soup. Yeah, very mushed up.
All right, good. And then, what do you eat for breakfast there? I'm talking about all this food.
English breakfast, 100%.
What's that? That
would be depends if you're vegetarian or meat eater. But let's say you're meat eater, you'd be two sausages, a bit of black pudding. Do you like black pudding? Which is
black
pudding. Yeah, it's grim, but I love it. It's pig's blood fried.
This is so fun and so different.
Black pudding?
Oh. Yeah, black pudding. Oh. Yeah. Okay, it tastes so good.
It's a blood sausage.
Oh, my dad used to. We used to have that as a kid all the time. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'd have that quite a bit at my house, actually.
Yeah, have that with sausages, baked beans, toast, eggs, mushrooms. Fried bread, if you want to go a bit more unhealthy, and bubble and squeak.
Nice. Okay. And what's popular music? Well, UK, we don't have to talk about music. Every great rock and roll person came out of the UK. So we know that. Are they still growing good musicians out there that you know?
I'm not really up to date with the modern music. I'm still stuck in the old days, unfortunately.
Yeah, no,
that's good.
We just watched the big Beatles documentary. That was really fun.
Yeah, I watched a few of those recently, yeah.
We talked about where we can surf down in those aisles, which no one ever heard of. And you're not part of the European Union anymore. So using the pound for money, that's the money still?
Yep.
Or has it always been?
Always been, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can't surf in those aisles, as we said. It's not the surfing in the aisles.
Oh, right. No, yeah, we have the something queue. The new quay,
Newquay.
Okay. All right. That wraps up our UK visit with James. We will be back soon to learn about his stay in Vancouver, British Columbia, in Canada, and where his travels will take him next.
If you enjoy our podcast, be sure to subscribe to our show, rate us in your podcast app, and follow us on Instagram. At Where Next Podcast. If you are interested in being a guest on our show or would like to nominate someone, please contact us on our website at www.wherenextpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.